And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I messed that up right away. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to try an interesting wine that I found at Wine Store, one of my favorite places to go, Wine Store in Blakeney, North Carolina. This is a Don Ramon. Don Ramon. And this is this should be an interesting wine. This is a sub $10 bottle of wine. I actually picked it up for $6.99 at Wine Store, and I checked around online. That seems to be about the going rate for this bottle of wine. I want to try something that was a little bit less expensive. So that for those of us, in our last wine stream, we talked a little bit about some of the less expensive wines. And, I thought I've been drinking some of the pricier wines lately. I wanted to try something that was a little bit more for everyone's budget, including mine. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to try this out. I don't know. I have never tried this wine before. This is new to me. Never tried it. This should be an interesting experience, to say the least. First of all, you can watch me. If you're watching me live, you can watch me on our Facebook page. I haven't had any yet, okay? we'll see how I do with mixing my merge up as we go down into the bottle, if I get very far into it. I think this is going to be a shorter show tonight, folks, because I'm kind of tired. We had quite a day, and I'll tell you all about it as I open and pour and we get down into the wine. But first of all, if you're watching this live stream, you can watch it on YouTube. We're on YouTube. We are on Facebook. We have the Facebook page, Drink with Rick. You can watch it on drinkwithrick.com. Just go to drinkwithrick.com. You can catch it there. And, of course, you can see it on Twitch. You know, Twitch just updated their – they just revamped their entire site, so to speak. And I was kind of impressed with some of the marketing they did on that. We'll talk about that a little bit later, maybe, if I can remember that. But we are – they're on Twitch, and I am going to check the chats in all of these areas. I'm going to try and remember to do so. Let's see. The Twitch chat is going. We've got a couple people watching on YouTube, but no real comments as of yet. I'm not surprised, but we do have people in the chat on Facebook, and Matt's joined us in the chat. Matt, it's great to see you. I'm glad you could join in. You know, I'm trying one of these other wines that you have over in your fine store at winestore.com. We're going to open this up. I've never tried it before, but we're going to try it for the first time tonight. We'll see. Let's see what it's like. And Matt says, hello, Rick. Happy Saturday. Well, happy Saturday to you too, Matt. And I hope everyone can join us for this one. I know it's a little late, Saturday night. We have talked about doing it a little bit earlier in the evening so more people can join us. And I think Trish brought that up again when I was there this past week. And I really do think that we're going to start this a little earlier, maybe an hour earlier once daylight saving time ends, which should be in about four more weeks, I guess. So we're going to try doing a little bit earlier. As it gets darker earlier and people are eating earlier and they can start drinking earlier, right? Jonathan's joined us. Jonathan, I'm glad you're here. Great to see you in the chat. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm going to go into the wine a little bit. Of course, once again, we're drinkwithrick.com. We're on YouTube, Twitch. We're on the Facebook page, at Drink with Rick, and of course, Facebook. And, you can email me if you need to contact me. You can email me at rick@savoiamedia.com. That's rick@savoiamedia.com. We're going to get into this bottle of wine now because it can't be a real long show tonight. I can't be on for 2 hours tonight because I'm pretty exhausted. We had as I said earlier, we have quite an interesting day, and I think I'm going to call it a day here pretty soon after this. Phil's joining us in the chat. Phil, it's great to see you. I love the fact that you're joining us. I'm really happy to see you, and stick around. Tell me how you're doing. Let's catch up a little bit, Phil. Phil is an old friend of mine from WOFL. I've known him for many, many years, and it's great to see you tonight. Matt says, good to see you, Joe, Nathan. John, we're going to toast birthdays. We're going to toast national days. We're going to toast all kinds of things that we can toast with this bottle of wine. Oh, I also want to mention, we're going to try this wine with, I have this little platter that my lovely wife Chi made for me. She did this herself for me. What I have here is some of that beer sausage that I've been showcasing the last couple of weeks. I have here, I believe, some cheddar and some crackers to clear the palate. A couple of these olives, garlic olives. I love these garlic olives, but they don't go with certain wines. You kind of have to be careful what you pair these olives with. These are Gaia olives. I picked these up at Fresh Market. I love these things. They're garlic stuffed. My wife doesn't like them. The kids hate them. But I love them, so I eat them. And also I have this wonderful, wonderful barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken wings that she made. She is really... really good in the kitchen. She's especially good at, this is one of her specialties, the barbecue chicken wings. And she, whenever we have a cookout or something in the neighborhood and run down our street or on a cul-de-sac, everyone in the neighborhood just raves about her barbecue chicken, just begs for her to make these because they are so good. And they really are. You don't even need barbecue sauce or anything. These are pretty awesome wings. This is supposed to, from my checking around, it's supposed to go okay with poultry. We'll see. Let's take a look at the wine first before we get too far into this. I'm going to show you what I have on this wine. This, once again, this is called Don Ramon. And, my Spanish isn't as bad as my French, but it's not that great. This is supposed to be a 2017. It's oak-aged red wine. This is supposedly a red blend, Campo de Borja. And it's and most of this is in Spanish on the front. Let's switch around to the back, and we'll show you what it looks like on the back side here. And this says it is a Don Ramon red wine, 75% Garnacha, that's a Grenache, 25% Tempranillo, and I like a good Tempranillo, in a state bottled Campo de Borja, denomination de origin, I don't know if I said that right. It is 750 milliliters in this bottle, and it says, according to the label, it says alcohol is 13% by volume, although I have done some checking around online, and I have found it online for I think it's a 12.5% online by volume from what I've been reading on some of these sites. Now, I'm going to go check around a little bit and see what we have as far as the pricing is concerned. Now, I picked this up at Wine Store for $6.99. I have the receipt right here, as a matter of fact, right here. It is this the right one? No, this is not the right one. It's another wine. But I know I picked this up for $6.99. And if you go to the website at winestore-online.com, you'll see that it is there for, well, they actually have it listed for $6.45. $6.45. Maybe that's what I paid for. I don't know. I Thought I brought the receipt over here, but I grabbed the wrong receipt. Anyway, that's $6.45, $6.99. This is around the $6, $70, $6 to $7 range. That's about what we're talking about here for what I paid for this bottle. Now, online, I have found it from anywhere between $7 and $10 a bottle. So some of these places have for $9.99. I think I did a search here through Wine Searcher, and it was going for wine store. It was listed at wine store for $6.45. WineDeals.com had it for $6.99. Let's see, Market View Liquor, wherever that is. I think it's in New York. This is in Rochester. That's $6.99. Arlington, that's in New York as well. And Poughkeepsie, $6.99. Manchester, that's in Connecticut, $7.99. All Star Wine and Spirits, that's in New York, also $8.99. We're getting up there. We have a place in New Zealand, it looks like, in Wellington, $9.38 a bottle. And that's pretty much in, yeah. That's about $9.99 is the top price I see for it here. So that's what we're looking at as far as the wine is concerned. Now, when I was checking around, I think 12, where did I see it was 12.5% alcohol. But it was one of these websites. Where was it? I don't know. I can't find it now. But I did see it around. It's, you know, the thing is that the wine, the alcohol content in the wine that's printed on the bottle, from what I understand and from what I've heard, is that it's actually usually fairly higher than what they actually print on the bottle. So now this is supposed to be it's supposed to go good with beef and pasta and poultry, veal, things like that. I don't know. I don't have any veal I have a little bit of sausage here. We'll try it out. According to Wine Store on their website, it's supposed to be good for a lot of different occasions, grilled meats and breaking up. Well, I don't know about that, but it's one of those wines that you just kind of crawl into the bottle with, I guess, on a breakup or something. I don't know. I have no idea. But we're going to try this out, and we're going to open it up. And let's get back to the chat for just a minute. Let's see. Anybody else joining us in the chat? No one else on Twitch right now. And we're good. All right, so let's go ahead and open up this bottle of wine. And I've got this wine foil opener here. If I can get it open. There we go. That was interesting. And of course, I'm going to pour it into my trusty Cooper's Hawk, genuine crystal glass from the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida. And we're going to open this up with this contraption here. An uncorker that my wife Chi got for me for $5 in an estate sale. Well, this opens up fairly, it goes in fairly easily. Opens up fairly easily too. Look at that. All right. Now, of course, this is the fun part, is trying to get the cork out of here, because sometimes it's not as easy to get it out as it was to get it. Ouch. You know, that's going to hurt. It's because of the angle where I'm sitting. The angle that I'm sitting at, it's a little bit awkward to get the leverage that I need. I would stand up, but that's, I don't know, that doesn't seem to work right either here. Anyway, we're going to pour it in the glass. We're going to use my Veneto aerator from the Veneto Wine Glover set, which, by the way, is available for purchase from Amazon.com. Well, that does hurt. From Amazon.com, you can find it at drinkwithrick.com. You can find a link to it And I think there's a banner somewhere there that you can order it if you want to. I think it's $19.99 for the whole set. I think this by itself is about $10. I purchased it with the whole set, which is pretty cool. But anyway, enough chatting around. Let's go ahead and pour this wine and let's see what is in this bottle. I'm just going to pour a little bit here for starters. And a good swirl here. Let's let it breathe a little bit. Okay. And I can get the aroma here. Like I can smell it here from very floral notes. And that's definitely I can smell the Grenache. Smells a little spicy. So we got here. It's some of the sites say it's medium body, but I want to say it's a little light bodied for personally. Very very light, tasting on the tongue. Only slightly acidic. Some tannins. You got the tannins in there, and it's there's a little bit of spice, and I want to say I need to have a little bit more to really get a fair tasting of this. Yeah, I guess it's about medium bodied. But it has a lot of floral notes to it. A little bit of got the tannins. I mean, kind of medium tannins to it, and I want to say there's a little bit of plum. I'd say it tastes a little bit of plum in here. Yeah, that's definitely some plum in there. I like it. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's. It's not a heavy wine to drink at all. I could see where they would say it's good for breakups or something, or good for just drinking alone on your own, which is I'm sure some people. I think it's okay. It's okay for one that you want for a budget wine. It is not. This is definitely not one of the $20, $30 bottle of wines that we've opened up in the past. It's definitely not that class at all. It's actually quite good for the price. I'd like to say, you know what? I remember when we did the very first wine stream, and we were doing the one from Target, the Target wine. And I was thinking, well, it's an okay wine for burgers. I don't know that it would be a $10 bottle of wine. It was more like a $7 or $8 bottle of wine, something that would be on par with what I paid for this. But you know what? I'd have to say that this is probably definitely, I think this actually outclasses that a little bit. I really think it does. I think it's actually, I like this better than the Target wine that I had before. It's light, and then yeah, that definitely tastes of plum in there. And it's not much of a, I can't say there's a whole lot of a finish to it. There isn't a lot of an aftertaste, so to speak. It just kind of goes down, and you get the tannins, and then it's kind of done. But it does, it's not bad. It's pretty good. We'll have to see what this pairs with. Before we do that, let me go back to the chat and see if we have anything going on in the chat. Molly's in the chat. Oh, I missed some things while I was drinking the wine, didn't I? Molly's in the chat. Molly, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining in on the chat tonight. Molly says, by law, it can only be 0.5% higher than what is printed on the label, FYI. That's good to know, Molly. By law, it can only be 0.5% higher than it is on the label. So if it's on the label at 13%, this could potentially, what you're saying, legally, it can only be 13.5%, if what you're saying is true. Yeah, that kind of... it kind of goes in line with what I've heard. And I'll tell you who told that to me originally. Some years back, we went to, we did a wine class, on a wine making class over at Seven Jars up in North Charlotte. And they were telling us about that. And that was one of the little things about wine that... with the labels on the wine, is that they were saying that, well, sometimes, yeah, by law, it can only be a certain amount higher than what's printed on the label, but sometimes that's actually not always the case. Sometimes it's actually higher than that, but that's just what I've heard. I don't know. All I know is that I drink enough of this, I can feel the alcohol. So if I drink enough, that's what I know. And Molly says, let's see, what did I miss here? Presumably, the BATF is checking every bottle. Ha ha. Yeah, well, presumably. But you know, it's sort of like the FDA, right? The Food and Drug Administration. It supposedly, they check or USDA inspections, right? When you see USDA inspected on all that meat in the supermarket, you kind of feel, you have that false sense of security that, well, they checked all that meat, so it must be okay. And come on, let's face it, the USDA doesn't have enough people out there to be able to check every piece of meat that goes through. So you know that a lot of that doesn't get missed. It's just something that's stamped on a lot of that food. So I've heard, right? Wink, wink. Same thing with customs. You know, the customs with all these containers that come over from different countries, China, whatever. They don't have the resources, the manpower, woman power, the facilities to check everything in every single container. So yeah, I'm sure stuff gets missed. That's not too surprising. Mark has joined us in the chat. Mark, it's great to see you. Join in the chat. Tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you're drinking or what you'd like to be drinking. Tell me what you'd like to see me drinking. And, just tell me how things are going on with you. Matt says, love the Don Ramon. And then he says with sangria. Wait a minute, you drink the Don Ramon with sangria? Is that what you're doing? And Molly says true, makes great sangria according to our customers. So you're mixing the Don Ramon. Anyway, so I kind of miss some of what was going on here. All right. I need more of this, don't I? Let's see what this wine pairs with. I'm curious to see what this pairs with, because with this, it's actually a very interesting blend of Tempranillo and Grenache. So we're going to see how it pairs with some of these foods. We're going to try it. I'd definitely like to try it with my wife's barbecue chicken because it's supposed to go well with poultry. That's what I've heard. We shall see. Now, this is kind of a barbecue, not really smoked, but... Interesting. That's interesting. I'll have to try that again. I'm not sure. It doesn't really seem to accentuate the flavor of the chicken too much, but it doesn't. My wife, she's shaking her head. I'm sure she's watching in the other room. This is great chicken. Not bad. It's okay. And as what I've heard, this is an okay wine to grill with. So this, I think this constitutes more or less a grilled meat. And it's not bad. It goes okay with it. I think they would pair all right with that. Let me try it with the beer sausage. That I'm not sure about, because it's spicier. But there are tannins in this wine that can help with that. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, I think it goes pretty well with that. I think it goes pretty well with the spicy meat. I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting much from that, but it seems to go okay with the sausage. At least I think it's all right. Now, some people might not like that, but I think it's all right with the sausage. We'll try it with the cheese. Let's try it with a little bit of the cheese. This is cheddar, I believe. And now, I generally like... I want to try this. Okay, that's all right. I'm not going to try it with this olive. But we'll get a little cracker to clear the palate. The thing about cheese, wines and cheese, is that there are some wines that I personally like to pair with the cheese better than others. I like to pair Cabs and Merlots with a good sharp cheese. And this is not a sharp cheese. This is actually kind of a medium cheddar. So I think it's okay. It's okay. And you know what? I almost forgot about this. But my wife made a batch of cookies, chocolate chip cookies. I might try a little bit of that with this tonight, because sometimes chocolate pairs pretty well with some of these wines. And we'll find out later. That's for later. Molly says, BATF, nice work if you can get it. Really? We have to talk more about that. But the thing is, I really think this is wine is probably okay with some finger foods and by itself. Some grilled meats. I think that it'll be all right with that. Now, you know what I like, what really drew me to this wine when I was in there the other night was I saw this, and this, let me get another close-up of this. This is, it looks like, I mean, it's not really, it looks like a wax seal, you know, or they stamp a wax seal on the back of a letter or something like that, and way back in those days, and that's what kind of drew me to it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That's an unusual. That's a nice touch. It's unusual. Now, this isn't really real. I don't think it's even real wax. It broke off on me. This is not the whole thing's not there. It broke off on me earlier this evening, just before the stream started, because I was playing around with it, and that's what I get for playing around with this stuff. I got to learn to just when I'm getting ready to do the stream, I've got to learn to just not touch anything. Because that's when things get messed up. Anyway, I'm going to have a little bit more of this. And I'd like to talk about my day a little bit, because it was a very, very interesting day. What we did, and actually before, I should save that. Let's go to the birthdays first, because we have some birthdays to toast. I really want to go to the birthdays first. First of all, we have some toasting to do. And I hope everyone has a glass. And everyone can toast right along with me. We did toast Molly last week. I toasted her twice, actually. I did. Matt says, cookies and wine, that's a whole new show. Yeah, it is. It is. I'll tell you, and that'll put pounds on, trust me, it will. I think it already has. Birthdays. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to my boss, Danny. His birthday was actually last week, and I just want to toast him again, because I'm not sure if I actually did last week. And the reason I want to toast him again is for the next person's birthday that I'm going to bring up. But here's it to Danny. Happy birthday, Danny. Belated birthday, I should say. The next person I want to toast is his wife, also my boss, Charity. Charity Feimster, she is my boss. The two of them own the company that I work for, and it has been a pleasure. As a matter of fact, my nine-year anniversary is coming up this next month. It's going to be 9 years in October. And I'm not ready to toast that yet because it's not here yet. But anyway, here's to you, Charity. Happy birthday. It was a good one. Her birthday was earlier this past week. And it's been a pleasure working for them both. They're great people. I'll tell you something. I've worked at a lot of different places. I've worked for a lot of different people. I have a lot of friends I've made over the years. You know, Phil and I, and I mentioned Phil, still the chat, Phil. Phil and I worked at Channel 35. For many, many years. And that was a great, great place to work. There were great people. It really was more like family. And the general manager there, he was more of a father figure to many of us. And he was just a great guy. And he passed away a couple of years ago. I was really saddened to hear that because he was such a really, really cool guy. And he took care of us even in the lean times at WFL and through the good times. He did his best to look after. He put his people first. He really did. You know, when I left Channel 35, and I worked for a lot of other places, and since then, and some were okay, some were not great, and some of them were places that I'll have to say that I don't miss too much. But when I first was hired by Danny Charity, I have to say that I knew that it was going to be something special, and it has been, and it is something special. It is probably the best place I've ever worked. The best, the people are great. I love what I do, and it's been an awesome experience. And once again, Danny and Charity, here's to you for building such a great company, a great experience, and for being good to all of us. Happy birthday to both of you. They're really awesome people. Also, my sister Penny Harms, and I don't see her here tonight. It's kind of late for them, I think. But my sister Penny, her birthday was on the 26th, and I want to say a special happy birthday to her. And if she is listening, I did send her a gift. I sent her a nice gift, and she and her husband Tom, and my nephew Ben, they're out in Texas. But now we've had the discussion in the stream in the past where you know, she likes the Reds and Tom prefers the Whites. Now usually, you know, you'll see like a lot of the ladies like the Whites and a lot of the guys prefer the Reds. But in their case, Penny likes the Reds and Tom likes the Whites. So I thought, you know, why don't I send them a little something that'll make everybody happy. So I don't want to spill the beans too much, but they're not here right now, so maybe I can. I don't know. It probably didn't get to them in time yet. It probably won't get to them until sometime next week. But Penny, if you're watching now, once again, happy birthday to my sister. I love you. And, you know, she's a really, really awesome, awesome. Both my sisters are awesome. They really are. Penny, here's to you. Happy birthday. And let's see, who else is on the list? Ah, you know what? Someone else who just had a birthday today, the last 12 hours. Allison, my friend Allison. Allison, happy birthday to you too. I want to say have a very happy birthday. I hope it's been a great birthday. I know it's pretty much almost over now for the day. But here's to you, Allison. Allison and I go back to when we were kids. She was younger. She's the younger. She wasn't. She is. She's the younger sister of my friend Dana. Dana and I, you know, we went to school together. We did a lot of different things together. He was almost always over at our house and hung out. Good friends with my sister Gina as well. And Dana's a great guy. Always enjoyed having him around and just enjoyed his friendship and his company. But Allison, once again, here's to you. Happy birthday. And I was over at their house quite a bit too back in those days. For a while they lived across the street. They lived in a complex across the street from our house in Winter Park, and it was easy to just, you know, walk. It wasn't easy because we had Highway 436 there, and back in those days, that was pretty much a highway. There were a few places there. It wasn't like Orlando is today, but it was pretty much a really rough highway. You really had to, you're taking your life in your hands crossing that road. But we'd go back and forth crossing that highway all the time, and we had a lot of good times together. That was back in the mid-70s. It was going back pretty far. But anyway, let's see. Allison, you know, there's one more person, someone very, very special to me. Of course, all my friends are very special to me. There is someone who is very, very special to me who is having his birthday tomorrow, and this is my son Tommy, my beloved son Tommy. He is going to be 20 years old tomorrow, actually in about 20 more minutes, right? Officially, by midnight. Well, he wasn't born on midnight. He was born early in the morning on September 29th, very early in the morning, and I remember that day very well. But he is going to be 20 years old. And as he said to me earlier, Dad, this is my last day as a teenager. And I thought about that for a second. That's right. It's his very last day as a teenager. He's not going to be a teenager anymore because you get to 19 and then there's 20, right? So, Tommy, here's to you, son. Here's to you. Happy birthday. And we've already done some fun things. Matt says, Rick, what was your first wow wine? My first wow wine was, my first wow wine? Probably one that my dad, made back when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, and I've told this story a few times before, a couple times at least, when I was a kid, my dad used to make wine, and he sometimes made reds and whites. He seemed to make a lot of white wine, but it's funny because he was really into Chiantis and Burgundies and wines like that. He drank a lot of that. He'd buy it by the case. He'd buy the Burgundy table wines, the big ones, and buy the Chiantis, and he loved Chianti. But when he was making his own wine, he would buy the grapes. He actually bought the grapes by the case, built his own wine press, and he would buy he did. He built his own wine press from scratch and from spare parts he had lying around and stuff. And he would press the grapes in this, and there were white grapes all the time. So he'd get some things like Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blancs, things like that. He would press these grapes, and then he would store them in a big. He'd store the juice in a big crock pot. You know, it's like 20-gallon crock pot or whatever. It seemed pretty big to me. I was a little kid at the time, so my memory's not too great. Cover it with cheesecloth and let it sit in the den. We call the family room in Florida for a few months and let it ferment. But he would, and then he would put it in his. He had his own little barrels. He had his own little five-gallon barrels, whatever, that he'd pour it in, and then store it for a long, long time. And I used to sneak in there and sneak it. I used to go in there because there were little taps on the barrels, so we could sit there and get some of the wine out. And sometimes the wine was still pretty young, but I'd go in there and I'd sneak the wine. I didn't have a glass with me or anything. I was just sneaking out in the garage, and I just stick my head under the spigot and turn it on and have a little taste of wine. My parents didn't know I was doing this. And I was about, I remember when I was doing this, I was about 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. But that was my wow moment, my first wow moment for wine, because they let us, when we were little kids, they would let us have on special occasions a shot glass, tall shot glass full of wine for special occasions like holidays, Thanksgiving, things like that. And we would have just a little bit of taste of wine. But my real wow moment was going in and tasting wine that my dad made, that my dad had fermented, and trying that and on my own. And to me, that was pretty wow. And I was pretty young then, but that was, that's how I first learned about wine. Courtney's in the chat. Great to see you, Courtney. Good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Courtney says, cheers, Rick. Glad to see you survive the highway of life. I'm still on the highway and hopefully I'll survive to live another day tomorrow. But thanks, Courtney. It's great to see you. Lon's in the chat. Hi, Lon. Good to see you in the chat. He says, Rick, what is beside the Overstone behind you on the right? Yeah, well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. Hold that thought. That's coming up. But, you know, I keep pouring this. Wow, I'm almost halfway down the bottle. See, this is easy to drink. I'll have to say, this isn't easy wine to drink. I'll say that. So my son Tommy and I, because his birthday is officially in, you know, it's coming up, it's tomorrow. He was born September He was born, it's 2019 now. He was born September 29th, 1999. And, when I remember vividly when he was born, because I was there, I was right there when he was born, and I was videotaping it and taking pictures that they would let us do that. I was there for both of my children, for my daughter Tia and my son Tommy, when they were both born, and because they had to give Chia, I think they had to give her an epidural. She was kind of out of it, but they were both C-section. And so as soon as he was born and they cleaned him up, you know, she was still pretty out of it. And I was standing right there. So I was the first one. I was the first one to actually hold my son. And it was the same case with my daughter, Tia. I was the first one to hold her. And I'll tell you, if you have never seen your own child being born and held your own child like that from the moment that they are taken from the womb into your arms for the first time, it's just such a moving experience. It really is. I think that every parent, every father, every father should be there to witness the birth of their own children. I think if we, you know, because there's so much these days, it just seems like fathers and their children are so disconnected. Parents are, and their children are so disconnected from each other. I think if every father had that experience, I think it would really change a lot of them to maybe be better fathers. And I can't say that I was a very good father. I mean, I made my share of mistakes, but I'll have to say that for me, it the moment that I held my daughter in my arms and the moment that I held my son in my arms for the first time, it changed me. It changed my life. And it's just such an awe-inspiring experience. It makes you feel, it humbles you. It really does. It really humbles you. But anyway, I was there to hold my son for the first time, and I've watched him grow. I've been there for a lot. I've been very, very fortunate to be there for a lot of the important parts of his life so far, leading up to his becoming a man. And I could say that 20 years old, he's not a kid anymore. He's a man. And I've seen him grow up to do a lot of amazing things and to accomplish a lot of amazing things. And he's still doing a lot of amazing things. And I'm just very, very proud of him. I'm so proud of him. Tommy, once again, here's to you. Happy birthday, son. Tommy and I started celebrating his birthday today. And this is one reason why I'm kind of tired. Started celebrating his birthday today by going to, we got tickets to go to the Drive for the Cure race at Charlotte Motor Speedway today. So we were there at Charlotte Motor Speedway and attended the race. And we had a great time. It was an awesome race. We had just a fabulous time. It was just a great experience. And we've been to the race before. We, you know, Tommy and I have been to several races. We've done Charlotte Motor Speedway a number of times and seen a lot of different races. I think we were at the and we did the Coca-Cola 400 and we did a few of them. This one was a little bit different because they changed the track a little bit. They've got, instead of an oval, it's called a roval now, where they kind of rove around in the oval track. They made it a lot more interesting this year. So it was a lot of fun to see. That was the first time that we'd actually been there on the roval track, and it was just a lot of fun to watch. We had a fabulous time. It was a lot of fun for both of us. Now, originally, it was supposed to be five of us. Chi and Tia and Tommy's friend Nick were supposed to go along. We were all supposed to go together. And Tommy's friend Nick, he's also a co-host of Tommy's podcast, Cube Command Podcast. But it was supposed to be the five of us going up there for the day. But it turns out that Nick couldn't get off work. He wound up having to work today. He couldn't get off to do it. And then Tia had to work today. And then she had to stay behind to drive her to and from work and that sort of thing. So it wound up being just Tommy and me going. We still had a great time. It would have been, you know, the more the merrier. It would have been more fun if everybody had been along. But the two of us still had an awesome time. And I really enjoyed the race. And I think A.J. Allmendinger won it, by the way. And it was just a great, great race. And then we got back here. And by the time we got back here, got through all the traffic going home and everything, and we were both pretty exhausted. So I'm a little wiped out from today. It was a pretty big day. And it was hot. It was 90 plus degrees. And it was really hot outside. And it was just unseasonably hot here in Charlotte for the end of September. But it was still a lot of fun. We still enjoyed it. I will say something that I didn't enjoy too much, and that was the the food, I should say. Before I go there, I want to say hi, Ed. Ed's in the chat. Hi, Ed. It's great to see you. I hope you're sticking around. Tell me what you're drinking or not, what you're not drinking, what you like to be drinking, or what you like to see me drinking, and join in the chat. Join in the chat. Tell me how you're doing. It's been a while since I've seen or talked to you. I hope you're doing fine. I hope you're doing well. And we're doing okay. And I was going to say that when we were at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, this is kind of like my rant for the week. You know, there's no secret about overpriced stadium food. I mean, we get it all the time, right? It's overpriced stadium food. You go there and you're a captive audience and you're stuck there. They know you're stuck there so they can jack up the prices and charge you whatever they want for the food, right? Well, I mean, that was not a surprise to me. I kind of expected that. So that's why I carried a little extra cash with me for that purpose, because we were going to wind up having to eat lunch there at the race. So we were expecting it to kind of be a little bit pricier. But I have to say that I was disappointed. I was really disappointed with the quality of the food that they serve for the prices. Now, Tommy, here's the thing. Tommy went to he ate chicken at basically the chicken chain around here, at Bojangles, if I may say, which we like. You know, Bojangles is good. Let's see, they charged him, I forgot what they charged him, but it was a lot more than what he expected for a little box of some chicken fingers and fries, which he didn't finish, by the way. You know, he didn't get to finish eating them. I think he may have lost part of his appetite when he saw the price that he had to pay for it. But I went to this burger shack. There was some kind of burger place that they had there, and the choices were limited. Of course, they had the burgers, and they were cooking it fresh. It wasn't like they had a pre-box like some of these places do, where they have them pre-made and they sell it to you for an exorbitant amount of money, and you get a box and it's all cold and whatever. They were actually making it fresh off the grill, and they made some fresh fries too. It's just I didn't care much for the quality of the food. It was just like a little bitty burger about this big. It was $10, $10, and it was a little bitty burger about this big. And the fries, they gave you a fair amount of fries, but I didn't like the fries. They didn't taste very good. There was something really odd about the way they tasted. And I ate about half the fries. I ate the burger because I was hungry, but it wasn't that great. And the fries, I ate about half the fries, and then I ditched the fries because it was just so I wound up spending $10 for food that I basically didn't eat, some of it. So I was just kind of disappointed, and that kind of brings me to that rant where you would think that this is the 21st century, right? You would think that after decades of having to of the public having to deal with that sort of thing, you know, bad food at events like this for exorbitant amounts, you would think that the public would say, you know what, we're tired of this. Do something about it. Fix that. But I guess we're just kind of stuck. And they know it. They got us. Ed and I used to work at Disney together. And I used to work at one of the fast food places at Disney. I worked for several food places at Disney. And I can tell you that, now I hadn't been to Disney for a couple of years. But the last time I went to Disney, which is, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I was really, really disappointed with their food. Now, Walt's whole thing, I mean, you know, Uncle Walt, when he first created Disneyland, his vision for Disneyland was something like, you know, he was annoyed. You know, he'd take his daughters to the local carnivals and theme parks and stuff back in the day, and he was very disappointed with the quality of the shows and the quality of the food and how exorbitant the prices were, and he felt like, well, you weren't getting your money's worth and basically you were getting ripped off. So when he created Disneyland, his thing was, well, I want to create an experience for people that it's not going to be second rate. It's going to be a first rate experience, but it's going to be affordable. People can afford to go to it. People won't get ripped off. People won't get, and I'm laughing for a reason, yeah. People won't get ripped off in the concessions. You know, they can go off and buy their concessions and not get ripped off on the food. And when he opened up Disneyland, that was his thing, all right? That was what he was going for. And while he was around, while he was alive, that was pretty much the case. In fact, when I first started working at Disney, I remember that the prices to get in, the entrance fee was still fairly reasonable. They were still working off the little ticket books. It wasn't just a one pass thing. It was just, you know, had the little A, B, C, D, and E ticket books. And the food wasn't that expensive. It was affordable. I could afford it, and I didn't have I didn't make a lot of money, and I could afford to eat there. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. But somehow along the line over the years, the Disney company just completely lost its way. And they just completely lost their way. And the last time I went to Disney, it was over $100 to get in. And the experience, I mean, it wasn't like it was a real bad experience, but it wasn't really spectacular. But as soon as you get in the door, you spend your $100 to get in, and as soon as you get in the door, you're constantly being sold stuff. Everything is like all of Disney World is like one giant gift shop now. And thinking to myself, that's not why I paid to get in. And then when you go to eat at the places like the burger place, I used to like to eat the Tomorrowland Terrace, and I liked the burgers there way back in the day, and they were actually pretty decent burgers. You got a first-sized burger, and it wasn't cheap, but it wasn't over-exorbitant. But the last time I ate there, the burger sucked. It really did, and it was really expensive. It was super expensive, and the quality was just not there at all. It was horrible. It was not good. And the quality of the food, the fries and things like that, I can remember that I was really disappointed in the quality of the food. And I'm thinking to myself, somewhere along the way, Disney lost the whole, they lost their mojo on that in a sense. They lost what Walt had originally built. They really did. Now it's all about the money. It's all about the money. It's all about how much they can get from you. And, you know, it's just sad. It really is. Anyway, but that's my rant on stadium food and theme park food, because I'm, you know, what's really bad now in NASCAR, fortunately, they'll let you bring in your own food. I mean, they don't, you know, we bring in our own water and things like that, and they don't seem to complain too much. So that's okay. But some places, they really lock you out. You can't bring your own food. You can't bring, like in a movie theater, you can't bring your own food in there. Can't do that. You got to buy their overpriced food. And I that's just not right. It really isn't. Now, for movie theaters, I understand the dynamics that are going on there, so I understand why, but I still don't agree with that. I still think it's wrong. Jonathan says, Walt shakes your hand with one hand and your wallet with the other. Actually, Jonathan, it's not Walt that's doing it. Walt, you know what? If Walt Disney were alive today, you know what he'd be saying? He'd be saying, hey, get me out of here. After that, I think he would be very disappointed. I think he'd be disappointed with what how things have turned out in his company, really. I think he would, because that really wasn't what he was going for. Now, Walt was not a saint by any means. He was not a saint, but he had the right idea. And I think after he passed away and it went to I think Card Walker took over the company for a while. He was the CEO for a while. And in my opinion, I started Disney when Walker was there. And I don't think he managed it very well. And then when Michael Eisner took it over and he really turned the company around. He really did. But who's running this thing now? Bob Iger? Yeah. I think it's all right now these days. It's all about the money. It really is. Charles has joined us in the chat. Good to see you, Charles. I'm glad to see you here. Hey, you know, Charles and his lovely wife took a trip recently, and I guess they've returned from the trip. I saw some pictures from that, and I'm a little envious of that because I'm thinking, you know, I'd really love to go there myself someday, but I just don't do well on planes. I really can't do planes. So that's what keeps me from traveling around outside the U.S. because I can get in a car and drive around, but planes make me sick. I can't deal with planes too much. It's just it takes me hours to recuperate after I've been on a plane, and never handled planes very very well. I'm glad you all had a great time, and you have to tell me about it. Tell me how you're doing, Charles, and if you're drinking, tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking. That's fine too. You know, something about Charles too is that Charles, when he used to live in, well, where he used to live in Florida, he had some lime trees. He had limes and I think he had lemons. He had some other citrus there, but he used to make a great limeade. I love limeade anyway, but I tell you what, that's one thing that I will never forget, unless I get Alzheimer's, I will never forget the limeade. He used to make a great, great limeade. I used to love that. And he made it fresh from his limes. I love a good limeade, good citrusy drink like that. And you know what? Limes are good in... Limes are good in a lot of different drinks, right? That's true. I haven't checked the chat lately in YouTube. Let's see. Well, who do we have here? Austin is in the chat, and he's saying Budweiser. He says, I love the Hollister sweater. Well, thanks, Austin. I appreciate that. It is Hollister, by the way. It is a Hollister sweater. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to find another one. My wife has been out trying to find another Hollister sweater for me, but apparently they still don't have the autumn or the fall line, the clothing line for Hollister in our area yet, because one thing has been too hot, I guess. But they haven't shown up yet with the Hollister sweaters because I want to get another one like this. A couple more like these. I love the sweaters. I like the T-shirts, too. They have sometimes I wear the T-shirts to work, and they're great shirts. They're very, very comfortable. I love the T-shirts. They're great. And, Austin, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. How are you doing? And are you drinking? What are you drinking? Let me know what you're drinking or what you're not drinking. This, by the way, is a Don Ramon 2017. It's a 75% Grenache and a 25% Tempranillo red blend. It's actually a very good wine. It's for the price. $6.45 a bottle from winestore-online.com. But it's actually, I think it could be easily be an $8 or $9 bottle of wine. I really think it could be. I think it's worth $9, $10 a bottle. In my opinion, I think it's actually pretty decent. Let's see who else we have. We have anybody going on the Twitch chat? No, nobody in Twitch. But let's go back to Facebook for a minute. And I wanted to. Also, before I go too far, you know, we've been talking about International Podcast Day, and International Podcast Day is coming up on the 30th. And Matt says 6:45 every day, all day. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. So I must have paid 6:45 for it. I was thinking 6.95, but 6:45 at Wine Store. But I appreciate the correction there, Matt. That's where was I here? The well, that's not what I was looking for. Oh, I know where I was going. The going back to the wines here for just a moment. I was going to show something else. That here we go. As we've been talking about the Drink with Rick Marathon. The Drink with Rick Marathon is coming up on the 30th. Now, what we're going to do here is, there we go. I had to find it. International Podcast Day is on the 30th of September. That's Monday. And for 24 hours, I think from the 29th to the 30th, they do an online thing globally, everywhere, around the world, celebrating podcasts and podcasting. And a lot of podcasters get together and do some things with podcasting. And a lot of people listen as well. You know, you can be a podcast fan or listening to your first one for the first time. And it's a great way to learn about podcasting. But this is going to be International Podcast Day on September 30th. Now, a couple of things are happening here. One thing that's happening is that you know, my day job, I do one of the podcasts that I do is the Two-Way Radio Show. We talk about two-way radios. And this year, the Two-Way Radio Show, which I host, which I co-host with my bosses, Danny Feimster, who's the president of By2Wear Radios, and Anthony Roquet, who is the chief operations officer. I'm the product manager. We do this podcast called the Two-Way Radio Show about two-way radios. And this year we were nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award in the technology category. And this is kind of a big deal because the People's Choice Podcast Award, which is basically run by Todd Cochran, and he's been doing this for 14 years. This is going to be actually the 14th year of the awards. Now, here's the thing. iHeart did their podcast awards, the first annual podcast awards, first ever, they say, podcast awards last year, iHeart Radio. And they made a big deal about it, about their first podcast awards. And the thing is that that's the first podcast awards for iHeart. And let's be perfectly clear about this. iHeart is claiming that's the first podcast awards, the first one for them. It's not the first podcast awards. The very first podcast awards is this one that's going to be happening. There we go. This one. This is the People's Choice Podcast Awards. This is the very first podcast awards. It's been around for 14 years. I don't want to get into a long thing about all that in the media right now, but, let's just say that this is the podcast awards, in my opinion. This is the podcast award. And there are a lot of different podcast awards going along, around the world, and they're all legit. Well, a lot of them are legit. And a lot of these podcast awards, they're in various countries, various times. They're all very good awards, but this is the original, okay? Just to set the record straight on it. So anyway, we've been nominated for an award in the technology category. Now, whether we win or not, I don't know. We're up against some pretty stiff competition. There are a lot of really, really good podcasts out there that have been around for a while, like us. Now, we've been doing our podcast, the Two-Way Radio Show, for 8 years. It's been around for 8 years. As a matter of fact, it was pretty innovative for us, for people in the two-way radio industry to come up with something like this. And we did this, and we've been doing it for a while. And the competition we're up against, a lot of other tech shows and different niches of technology, and a lot of them are very, very good shows. So Whether we win or not, I don't know. We might. It's possible. If we don't win, it's certainly understandable because there a lot of the other tech shows out there are very, very good. Excellent shows. I've heard some of them. But I will say this, that win or lose, I think we win anyway, because just the fact of being nominated is actually pretty cool, because when you're talking about 157,000 active podcasts, now there's about 750,000 podcasts that have ever been done so far, but of 157,000 or whatever it is, I forget the actual number now, of active podcasts that are out there, to pick 9 or 10 shows in the technology category for those that that stand out, I think making the roster for that is actually pretty decent, even if we don't win. So win or lose, we're quite proud of that. Anyway, they're going to announce the winner. They're going to announce the winner, they're going to announce the winner tomorrow evening. I think it's 6. Pacific, 9 Eastern, I think, 6, no, go to podcasts, it's too much one. all you need to go is podcastawards.com, and they'll have the whole itinerary there. Just go to podcastawards.com. The itinerary is there, the time they're actually doing it. They're going to be announcing the winners on the live stream show for International Podcast Day, and that's what they're going to be doing. We'll all be watching it. Matt says, hi, we love the live stream. Enjoy your reviews every week. Matt, I really appreciate it. I tell you what I do enjoy. I enjoy having everyone here in the chat. I love having everyone here in the chat watching along with me. You're part of the show. It's not just me. You're part of this. All of you are part. Everyone who is in the chat here is part of the show. So you're all making this happen. Austin too, on YouTube, you're part of the show. You're part of the chat. Anyone on Twitch, watching and participating in the chat, you're part of it. This isn't just me. It's all of us. We're all here together drinking with Rick. We're all doing this. Courtney says, voting for Rick. I appreciate that. Matt says, how do we vote? Well, the voting process is actually a closed, the actual voting is a closed process that they do. But the nomination process is open to anyone who wants to nominate someone for a position there in the final voting slate. But that was closed in the end of August, I believe, the beginning of August. I think the nomination slate closed then, and we received a number of nominations for the Two-Way Radio Show, which was great, and much appreciated. We have a pretty active audience on the Two-Way Radio Show, and a lot of people have been listening to us for a long time there, and who do send in comments and actively participate. So we really appreciate all of them. But then the voting process, when it's closed, and there's a month long, I think, where they go through the voting process, and that's a closed thing. But then winners are going to be announced tomorrow. I want to say 6 p.m. or 9 p.m., I think, Eastern. And now, after this voting occurs, after the award ceremony is done, what's going to happen next is the Drink with Rick Marathon. This is something that I'm doing here for International Podcast Day. We're going to be having the Drink with Rick Marathon. And where did I put that? Oh, there it is. I did put up the schedule, the marathon schedule. This is going to be 18 hours of drinking with Rick. These are basically episodes that have been previously of the podcast version of the wine stream that have been previously unreleased, and releasing them all, one every 2 hours, including this episode tonight that's going to be in podcast format. It's going to be released. And we'll be doing, it's going to be 18 hours of Drink with Rick. Yeah, you'll if you can sit through all that, that's amazing. And I don't know that I really recommend doing that because you'll be pretty sick of my voice by the time you're done. But at the end of this schedule, it starts at 10 p.m. The Drink with Rick marathon starts at 10 p.m. Tomorrow. And tomorrow night, and when it's done, it's going to culminate into an 8 o'clock p.m. Special Drink with Rick Weinstein for International Podcast Day, and that will start at 8 p.m. Now, Trish, if you're still listening, here's your chance to get in on an early Weinstein, because that's when I'm going to be doing a really early Weinstein. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be opening up the Overstone. We're going to open up the Overstone, and we're going to test that out. We're going to taste it out and pair it with some foods. We're going to try it out. But it will be a one-hour special. It's going to be a short one. We're going to keep it to 1 hour, one-hour special of Drink with Rick. It would be at 8 p.m. Monday night, this coming Monday. So I hope you all join me for it. I understand if you don't, because it's a work night. That's one reason why it's only an hour, and I'm not planning to drink through the whole bottle because I have to work the next day, so I'm not planning on doing that. It's just going to be a light, kind of a celebratory show for International Podcast Day, but we'll be opening up and reviewing the Overstone then. So I hope you all join me. Let's see. Matt says, Rick, when is the special steam? It's going to be, yeah. I guess I missed it. at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Monday night. So definitely join me and we'll have a good time. It'll be a lot of fun. And I'll be doing some giveaways and stuff. And anybody joins into the chat, I'm going to just randomly pick some folks and just give away a few things. So I've got a couple of T-shirts and some coasters and a few other things here. That'll be a lot of fun. The other thing I want to mention was that, of course, you can... I guess I already mentioned that, didn't I? Wine's kicking in. Okay. I mentioned that. We're done with the podcast thing. International Podcast Day. I really do want to try another one of these chicken wing things with this wine, but I think I should probably put the wine away for now because I am about two-thirds of the way into the bottle, and I am starting to feel this a little bit. Plus, it's been a long day, so I'm probably going to have to shut this down early, close it up. But I really would like to mention before I go that, as a reminder, we've been having a lot of storms coming around. Fortunately, a lot of them have passed us by, but I think they're still expecting one or two big ones to come before the end of the hurricane season. And, we've been really, really dry here in Charlotte, in this area. We've been really dry this month. I think we're actually about to hit water restrictions if we don't get some serious rain soon. So we've been getting a little bit of a drought, some drought conditions here. But in other parts of the country, that hasn't really been the case. I think a snowstorm over there in the Northwest now? Something? I've heard some rumblings about something like that. They've been getting rain in other places. And, of course, the concern is with all of the hurricanes coming up the coast. And I think they're expecting one or two more named storms before hurricane season is over. And, of course, hurricane season is not over until November. So you definitely want to be prepared for that. You want to have a weather radio. And the reason I mention this is because I'm really big on the weather thing. I'm a ham radio operator myself, so is my son Tommy. We're weather spotters. We have a number of weather radios in the house. We keep them handy in case of emergency. We have a weather station. If you need a weather radio, and everybody should have a weather radio. I think everybody should have one. If you need a weather radio, you can get one at buy2wearradios.com. 5% off with promo code WINESHOW. If you mention promo code WINESHOW, you get 5% off of a weather radio, so you have something for an emergencies. And I would, you know, even if you don't buy it at buy2wearradios, get one somewhere. You really need one, because you know, I've been through a bunch of hurricanes. When we lived in Florida, we lived through a bunch of hurricanes, and there were a few times I didn't have a weather radio, and I wish I had one. I'm glad I have them now. That's why I keep a lot of them in the house, because I've been there, done that. I've learned, you know, it's funny, just about everything I've ever learned in life, I've learned the hard way. Unfortunately, I've learned a lot of these things the hard way. And that's why I try to instill in my kids and my daughter and my son, you know, I try to teach them some things that I've learned the hard way, because I don't want them to learn it the hard way. And I know everybody has to make their own mistakes. Well, you know what? That's a misnomer. Everybody doesn't have to make the mistakes. If they can learn from the mistakes of others, and that way they don't make any mistakes, or they make different mistakes. But the point is that I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I've got to send your kids out there and let them make the mistakes for themselves and let them learn for themselves. Well, that's fine, except for the fact that if they don't have to learn it the hard way, why should they have to go through it? If they can listen and take your advice and go with your advice, that's one less thing they have to deal with. It's one less pain they have to go through in life. So I'm a big believer in learning from the mistakes of others. And I learned that the hard way, too, because I really didn't learn from a lot of mistakes of the others. I made a lot of my own. So I don't know where I was going with that. But once again, this is the Stream of Consciousness show. My stream of consciousness all coming from this bottle of wine. The wisdom from wine. Anyway, Matt says, Rick, congrats. Wine Store would like to donate a bottle to the stream. Well, I appreciate that, Matt. I appreciate that. You can. I mean, you certainly can. I mean, I'm up to reviewing wine, and people have suggested, hey, why don't you take this bottle of wine. I'll give you this bottle of wine. You can review it. And, I can do that. I just have to keep in mind that for FTC regulations that it has to be an honest review. I can't just say, hey, this is a great bottle of wine because I got it for free. And my son and I do a podcast whenever we get around to doing it called The Free Stuff Show. And we do that. We get items that are people send us for free, and we review them. But we always have to stress that, okay, we got this for free, and we're doing this in exchange for an honest review. But it has to be an honest review. So I have to lay all the cards out on the table. I have to be completely honest about it for FTC regulations. But we can definitely talk, Matt. We can definitely talk on that. Let me know. And if you have a bottle that you would like for me to review, let me know. I'd certainly be happy to review it. Anyway, I think we're coming up towards the end of the stream and for the night, because I think I'm going to have to close it up and take a rest. It was been a long day at the racetrack. It was really hot there today. It was a lot of fun, but it just sapped the energy out of Tommy and me, and I think most all the fans out there. It was just really hot out today in the sun, but it was definitely well worth it. It was a good race. It was and I want to, you know what, that's the other thing I was going to do. I was going to congratulate Mr. Allmendinger on his win. Congratulations. and a very fine and fair win at the Charlotte Motor Speedway today for the Drive for the Cure. The Drive for the Cure is something they do every year for breast cancer, and it was kind of touching too, because all what they did was they had all of the drivers come out one by one when they introduced the drivers, and each driver introduced a cancer survivor, one of the ladies that had survived breast cancer, and they would give them a rose and introduce them. And that was very touching. And it's just amazing. It's funny because when I was a kid, and there was a time when you really didn't hear about too many people getting cancer. And now you hear it all over the place. People are getting cancer left and right. It touches me personally, which is another reason why Tommy and I attended the race. It touches me personally because I lost three family members to cancer. I lost my mother to cancer, to breast cancer, as a matter of fact. I lost her to breast cancer back in the 80s, very early 80s. I lost a brother, my brother Tony, my younger brother Tony, to cancer in 2006. And I lost my dad. My dad passed away from cancer a few years ago. Now he was 80. Was he 84, I think? And but he passed away from cancer, and he suffered from that for a while. So I've seen this firsthand. I've seen the suffering firsthand, and it's difficult. It's difficult. I want to say I still can't imagine what they've gone through. But I don't want to have to go through it myself. But it's something I think about a lot, because since so many members of my family have had cancer and who have succumbed to cancer, that it's something that I have to be constantly aware of and get checked for and keep an eye on, because it can happen to anybody. It can really happen to anybody, especially if your family is prone to it. That's a red flag right there. So it's something I'm very, very sensitive to. Then that's one reason why going to this race today and hearing about all these people who have survived cancer. Now, my mom, her story was a little bit different, and she passed away from breast cancer. But some of these other ladies that are alive, that live to tell the tale and have beaten, some still fighting it, and some have beaten it. It's inspiring, but it's also sobering at the same time, because you just realize just how terrible and how serious cancer is. And it's something I think about, but it touches. I don't know if there's anybody that hasn't been touched by it in some way or another. I think at this point in time, probably everybody knows someone who has cancer, who has been fighting cancer, or is a cancer survivor, or they know someone. It's touched them in some way or another. So going to this race and seeing that it wasn't just a race, it was an event, and it was to honor some of these people that have fought and beaten cancer, and some of them who are still fighting. So I think I really believe that any way that you can support fighting that terrible disease is an honorable thing to do. And if you can, do what you can, what's your favorite charity or helping children who have cancer or fighting cancer, you know, Shriners, you know, some of the other organizations that help kids with cancer. You know, if you can do something, give something to some of those organizations to help them out in some way or another. I think that'd be a very noble thing to do. Anyway, my lovely wife Chi's in the chat. Hi, Chi. She finally made it. She's been resisting joining. I think she didn't want to see me pig out on all this food here, which basically I didn't. I've been very good. Okay. I've been very good. I just sampled a few things. I'm okay. And we're about to close the stream anyway. So, I didn't mean to end it on a sad note. It's not what I meant to do, but, it was quite a day. I'll just say it was quite a day. I'm glad everybody was able to join us tonight for the wine stream. And once again, we're going to be doing that special one at 8 o'clock on Monday, the 30th. And that's International Podcast Day. And I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, we have a few things we'll give away randomly to everyone who joins us in the chat. I didn't check to see if anybody joined us in. Let's see. We've got someone in Twitch. Hi, I can't really see. Is it OWDOG? Hi, how you doing? I'm glad you could join us in the chat. About to close it up here at the end, but Austin, I want to thank Austin for joining us as well and chatting YouTube. And I want to thank everyone who has joined us tonight. And let me see if I can roll the credits on this here. Let's see. Matt's in the chat. Jonathan, Phil, I hope you're still watching. If you're still watching. I was all over the place tonight, really. I was. Molly, thanks for joining me in the chat. Mark, I'm glad to see you. And I hope you've enjoyed it. Let's see, who else was here? Lon and Courtney and Ed and Charles and my wife Chi. Lon says, thanks, Rick. Looking forward to the Overstone Monday. Well, definitely join me for that because it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to have a lot of fun checking that out. In the meantime, thanks for joining me tonight. You can, of course, catch it on the replay, drinkwithrick.com. Go to the website, drinkwithrick.com. You can catch the podcast as well at drinkwithrick.com. Of course, the podcast is on, you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, on Amazon Echo. If you have an Amazon Echo, just say, Alexa, play the Drink with Rick podcast. You should be able to hear it there. You can hear it Stitcher Radio. We can hear it all kinds of. You can hear it all over the place on the internet. And you can contact me. Contact me at rick@savoyamedia.com. That's rick@savoyamedia.com. And look at that. I haven't had enough of this because I was able to spell that without tripping up. You can. Yeah, definitely send in your comments. Tell me what you think of the show. I'll read your comments on the show. If I read your comments on the show, I'll send you something special as well. So I really would like to hear from you. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you like to see on the show. If you like to see me review a specific wine, if you like to send me a wine to review, that would be great. Once again, as I mentioned earlier, yeah, I'll send me a wine to review and I'll review it. That's great. I would really, really appreciate that. It helps support my wine habit, right? Helps support the show. Anyway, and Courtney, I didn't forget about you, Courtney, did I? Thanks, Courtney, for joining us on the chat tonight. And she says, cheers to you, Rick, and cheers to you, Courtney. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great week. Hope to see you all Monday night. even if I don't, have a great week. Have a safe week. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Don't, do this from the comfort of your own home, your apartment, or your hotel, or wherever you are. And because I want to see everyone here next week, and the next time we do this, on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.